Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and I'm back with another episode for y'all, another women's MMA topic episode. And this ain't going to be a long one because it's a fight night tonight. You know, we got Invicta FC 42 going out tonight. So I want to talk about that, you know, as far as the card. You know, I want to go down the list of fights on the card because there's been some hiccups. There's been a few changes, fight cancellations and opponent changes. So, I want to go down the new list for y'all because that's going down in a few hours. And, of course, I just want to recap last weekend's fights. We had, like, 8 different women's fights between LFA, Bellator, and UFC. So just want to go down the fights again because I just watched Liz Carmouche versus Deanna Bennett. You know, I just watched that fight last night. So I want to go back and do my post-fight analysis on that one. And also Danielle Wolfe versus Tanisha Tennant. Just a couple more points I want to discuss about that fight on the Dana White Contender Series. You know, some people feel like Tanisha Tennant won that fight. A lot of people feel like Danielle Wolfe is a hype train. You know, I mean, who comes in 0-0 in the Contender Series? You know, who can really call themselves a contender if they have no fights under their belt, right? So, you know, just a few more points I want to discuss that I didn't discuss in my post-fight analysis video for that fight. And last up, Weili Zhang versus Rose Namajunas. That fight is in the works for a December date. So that's a fight I'm definitely looking forward to. So a few points I want to discuss about that fight. But, yeah, man, going back up real quick. Like I said, 8 fights, you know, 8 good women fights this past weekend. On LFA 91, we had Haley Cowan versus Kelly Clayton. Kelly Clayton pulled off an upset. It was a very good, solid fight that did a post-fight analysis video on that. And all these fights pretty much, except Liz and Deanna. Also, on Friday, Bellator 245, we had Leslie Smith versus Amanda Bell. Kat Zingano making her debut in Bellator versus Gabby Holloway. Bellator 246, Liz Carmouche versus Deanna Bennett. Both fighters making their Bellator debut. And real quick, Liz Carmouche, she was able to pull out a submission win via rear naked choke over Deanna Bennett. And I'm just going back and looking at the Liz Carmouche versus Deanna Bennett fight. Liz Carmouche was in a very competitive fight with Deanna Bennett up to the third round until her experience kicked in. She was able to pull out a submission win via rear naked choke over Deanna Bennett in that third round. Overall, it was a good fight. You know, I feel like Liz Carmouche, you know, she was able to control it in rounds 1 and 3. And Deanna Bennett, she had a pretty solid second round. You know, she was using some good lateral movement, using her jab well. And jabbing her way in to get her takedown. She got a good solid takedown over Liz Carmouche in the second round, and she was able to really put her weight and her strength on top of Liz Carmouche and get some good strikes in and control the ground in the second round. So that just showcased her grappling skills. But Liz Carmouche, she's being the physically stronger fighter and the more experienced fighter. She had a better first round as far as putting the pressure on Deanna Bennett, landing the better punches, and taking her down 2 times, you know, just showcasing that physical strength. She slammed her 1 time in the first round. And then in the third round, you know, she was able to put that pressure and get the clinch on Deanna Bennett again. You know, she kind of nullified that lateral movement. Because Deanna Bennett was using some good lateral movement, but she wasn't really putting anything as far as power punches together to really get the respect of Liz Carmouche. She was kind of walking through all of her punches. So whenever Liz Carmouche was able to close that distance with another clinch, she just really put that strength on Deanna Bennett in the third round and kind of wore it down to her knee. And when she dropped to her knee, Liz Carmouche was able to get on the back and roll Deanna Bennett with her and put that arm up under the neck and get the submission win via rear naked choke. So, yeah, overall, it was good. It was a good showing for Liz Carmouche as far as her debut. You know, she was getting there with a solid opponent. But, you know, Liz Carmouche has faced better opposition. So she definitely had that level to rise to that occasion in that third round. But from here, man, Liz Carmouche, I know she's going for a title shot, but it's really hard to say who she's going to be fighting next, because a lot of the ladies in the flyweight division in Bellator, let's face it, a lot of ladies in general, they don't fight a lot. You know, they're always inactive. You know, I don't think they fight as consistently as the UFC fighters in the flyweight division fight. You know, shoot, you see Mara Romero-Barella fighting like 2-3 times, 4 times a year. You know, they be calling her like crazy. You know, I mean, Jillian Robertson, she'll return maybe like every 2-3 months. But Aaliyah Leigh McFarlane, Denise Kilholtz, Kate Jackson, a lot of these fighters, you know, it seems like they're fighting once or maybe twice a year. You know, hopefully some of these flyweights, they come back to get back into the mix in October. You know, I know there's a couple of October fights coming up. You know, Cyborg has a card coming up I think October 17th. So hopefully they can get some more flyweights on these cards, because, you know, I want to see if Liz can go for that title shot against Aaliyah Leigh McFarlane. You know, but yeah, overall, that was a good matchup. Like I said, these were good fights this past weekend. I'm going to the UFC Fight Night card. I don't know if I went through theirs. It was Sabina Mazo versus Justine Keach, Sajara Eubank versus Julia Avila, Roxanne Modafar versus Andrea Lee in their rematch, in the main event, Michelle Waterson versus Angela Hill, which was a solid main event. You know, a lot of people already counted it out because they felt like both of these ladies weren't like top ranked strawweights, but they are. You know, they fight hard, and if you really keep up with MMA, you'll know that they've been in the game for a while. You know, I feel like a lot of people feel like since it was a women's fight, it wasn't going to be a solid fight, but it was competitive. It was very competitive, and it was a milestone for Angela Hill. You know, Angela Hill became the first African-American woman to headline a UFC card, and, you know, that's big. So, you know, respect Angela Hill for that. You know, I feel like it was a good competitive fight, but I feel like Angela Hill, she did enough to win it. But they gave the decision to Michelle Waterson. I already did like a full breakdown of this fight round by round. I did like a podcast episode earlier this week on it. If you want to go back and listen to it and hear my assessment on the fight, you know, it's up there. I already posted it. But yeah, I feel like Angela Hill, she did enough to win this one. But yeah, man, overall, like I said, definitely good fights, you know, definitely good showcasing, solid main event on the UFC Fight Night card. Hopefully they pull out some more strawweights for main events like this. You know, hopefully, you know, the fight I'm going to talk about later, the Whaley Zone, Rose Namajunas, is a solid main event, and, you know, not just a co-main event, because, you know, that's definitely main event worthy, man. So yeah, man, moving on to tonight's fight night, Invicta FC 42. We're supposed to have six fights tonight, but unfortunately, one of the fights got canceled and one of the fights on the card changed. Flora Hani, as you know, I talked to Flora Hani earlier this week. She was going to be opening the card against Jennifer Chang, but she had to pull out due to a positive COVID test. And Brittany Cloudy, she also had to pull out because she's a teammate with Flora Hani. So her fight with Autumn Norton, it was just scrapped altogether. So now we're down to five fights. And Jennifer Chang, she's going to be fighting a catchweight fight at 120 with Helen Peralta now. So that's going to be the opening fight, Jennifer Chang versus Helen Peralta. And the next fight was supposed to be Autumn Norton versus Brittany Cloudy, but now it's a flyweight fight between Victoria Leonardo and Liz Tracy. And the strawweight fight is going to be Jessica Del Boni versus Erica Tiburcio. As you know, Tiburcio, she's been out of the octagon for about the past 3 years, you know, since she had her baby. She's been raising her son. Now she's ready to get back into the octagon. So I'm anxious to see how she's going to look, you know, because for a while she was, you know, making a statement, you know, back in like 2015, 2016. So she's ready to get back into the mix. And co-main event, Lisa Rizosa versus Raquel Canuto. Raquel Canuto, you know, she's a vet. She's been in there since, I think, what, Invicta FC 1 or 2. So, yeah, she's facing big names. And the title fight, atomweight title fight, this is for the vacant title that was vacated by Jin Yu Frey, Alicia Ashley Cummings versus Alicia Zapatella. So, yeah, those are the five fights on the card now. Like I said, Flora Hani and Brittany Cloudy, they're off the card. But, yeah, shout out to both of these ladies. You know, they worked hard. They trained hard, you know, since I talked to them. And, you know, Flora Hani, she was in great shape. She was ready to go. She was in fight mode. And, you know, I feel bad for them. You know, I feel bad for both of them because, you know, they get it. They gain all that energy, ready to go. And, you know, they make weight. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's this COVID test. You know, some, like I said, this whole COVID thing is going to be a part of the norm now, you know, whether it's boxing or MMA. You know, it used to be just an injury here or there, maybe like another illness. But now these little COVID tests now, they just come out of nowhere. They can just throw a whole fight off like that, man. So, yeah, hopefully both of these ladies, they make a full recovery and hopefully they can return on the next card. But, yeah, that's the card that's going down in a few hours. I think it's, what, 8 p.m. Eastern time and 7 p.m. Central time. So, yeah, definitely got to check that out tonight on UFC Fight Pass. All right, next topic, Danielle Wolfe versus Tanisha Tennant. All right, man, you know, I already did my post-fight analysis and gave you my thoughts on this fight and the outcome of this fight. You know, this fight took place on the Dana White Contender Series. Danielle Wolfe, she was able to win a controversial decision over Tanisha Tennant. A very tough fight for her as well, but she was still able to earn a UFC contract, you know, so, But that being said, just a few points that I wanted to talk about again, because I, you know, people ask this question right now. You know, they ask if this was a setup. And right away, I have to say, yeah, it was. You know, I mean, like, we had so many angles from just coming from everywhere that spelled setup. You know, it was coming from every direction here. You know, we have a fighter in Danielle Wolf who's 0-0, making her pro debut on a show called The Contender Series. I didn't know a fighter could make a professional debut and just become a contender right away, or a fighter that has no fights is already considered a contender, you know? So right away, when you look at the backstory on the show, they talk about her being this Olympic boxer, you know, talking about her whole boxing background. They talk about her being on the ESPYs, and then they show the picture of her in the, you know, on the ESPN Body Issue, making that magazine. And just talking about all these other credits, all of these other credits that are more so glamour credits, but there's nothing they can say about her being in mixed martial arts. There's no mixed martial arts background here. So right there, that was already kind of making me think. I was like, okay, I already had somebody hit me on Instagram and tell me that they felt this fight was a setup and that Tanisha was being fed to her. And yeah, when I heard that, I was like, okay, yeah, I can see that now, because Tanisha is a 5-0 bantamweight, but she's having to move up to face this 0-0 featherweight, a huge featherweight at that, you know? So right away, they already know something that we don't know, or they know something that they don't know that we can make assumptions with. So we're putting these pieces together. So again, you got this big featherweight who has no MMA experience at all, but they're facing a smaller fighter. They're facing a smaller fighter just so they can kind of go ahead and pad their career, at the same time justify their win as being a top contender in the UFC. But this is crazy, man, because it's like you're bringing in this fighter at 0-0 against a 5-0 bantamweight. Let's say they do beat that bantamweight more so convincingly. Like, let's say Danielle Wolf had stopped Tanisha Tennant. Does that really mean that she's ready for the UFC from here? No, that just means that Tanisha Tennant wasn't ready for the UFC. But if anything, Tanisha Tennant proved more so to be ready for the UFC than Danielle Wolf, because she gave her a hell of a fight and she won, in my opinion. But, you know, Danielle Wolf, she struggled with this bantamweight. You know, she struggled with this bantamweight, and Dana White still found it fit to give her a contract. I mean, everything he said leading up to her getting the contract didn't make sense. I mean, the guy before that didn't get a contract. You know, first off, he'll say stuff like, okay, so-and-so worked hard. They put on a good performance. Oh, but they didn't know how to close the show, so I'm not going to give them a contract because they're not ready for the UFC. With some guys, okay, that makes sense. But they still have more experience than Danielle Wolf. And then you go with Danielle Wolf and you say, okay, Danielle Wolf, the internet right now is mad. They feel like she lost the fight, but I'm going to give her a contract anyway. I mean, what kind of logic is that? You know, just to build up a featherweight division. I mean, we want a featherweight division, but we don't want crap, you know, especially when you already have some natural featherweights right under your nose. You know, you did a tough house, so you have plenty of featherweights that you have squeezing down a bantamweight now that could make 145 and make a division. You have 5 to 6, maybe 8 fighters now that can make 145 easily and make that division. You don't even need Danielle Wolf right now, you know? So it's like, okay, you bring in Danielle Wolf to say you want to build up a featherweight division, but you didn't even bring in another featherweight for her to really get her feet wet with. You know, you have her fight a bantamweight that y'all move up. Instead of getting this bantamweight who's 5-0 and has more potential, y'all don't match her up with somebody that can make her look good so you can sign her. You know, she's the one you got more potential in, so you should be looking to build up your bantamweight division with this promising fighter. Instead, you want to go for the money and the hype in an 0-0 fighter who's probably going to eventually get their ass kicked for real when they fight one of the 5 featherweights you have right now, you know? So, yeah, everything leading up to this one spells a setup. You know, it's all set up, 0-0, pro debut in the Contender Series, all because of your boxing background, your professional boxing background, which we never go by that in MMA. You have to have some type of mixed martial arts background. And that's coming from a diehard boxer fan. You can't be a boxer and just go straight to MMA and think it's going to be easy. Nah. So you got that. And then, of course, the highlight is the ESPN Body Mag. You know, so right there, you're saying, okay, this is just going to be all about Daniel Wolf as a hype train, as a face now. But you couldn't mention anything as far as her being an MMA fighter, like, you know, scoring some good takedowns and knockouts and like in LFA, or she was an Invicta champion. There's nothing like that there. So that's all spelling setup right there. But the next question is, was this almost a setup gone wrong? Hell yeah, it was. It was almost a setup gone wrong, because Tanisha Tennant showed you she didn't have to expose this fighter because she's 0-0. You know, so 0-0, we already know this fighter is going to have holes in their game, and they shouldn't be here. You know, this is not for them. So you got a 5-0 bantamweight who is a little bit smaller and still growing themselves. But again, somebody like Tanisha has more potential to be in the UFC than Danielle. You know, Tanisha's in there, going in there, walking her down, outlanding her. The only thing that Danielle has to save her from this fight is her physical strength and size. You know, everything else is all Tanisha Tennant. You know, the skill set is coming from Tanisha Tennant. So you didn't necessarily set up Danielle Wolf in the best position. You know, you actually made her look bad as an 0-0 fighter. I'm not bad, but you made her look like an 0-0 fighter would. You know, instead of making her look promising, you know, she wasn't able to stop Tanisha. Tanisha was able to do what she was supposed to do against a big featherweight. So you didn't make Danielle look good. Now, if you didn't give her the contract, that probably would have fared better with everybody. You know, then people would have said, yeah, she don't deserve a contract. You should have never brought an 0-0 fighter. But instead, you give a contract to a fighter who won but didn't really win. So this is, yes, it's really spelling a setup gone wrong. And not only gone wrong that night, but this setup is definitely going to go wrong until Danielle Wolf really gets destroyed. You know, this is a setup that's going wrong right now. It's still in the process, because eventually you're going to have, okay, so here's a setup I already see. Okay, with Danielle Wolf, they're probably going to have her fight a few more blown up bantamweights to try to build her record up. You know, they might try to make a Aspen Ladd or a Lena Landsberg step up to 145 last minute to make Danielle Wolf look good. You know, they'll just give them checks to try to make them move up to 145, and then after that, they're going to let her run through them, and then she's going to fight a Norma Dumont or a Zara Farah Santos, you know, and we'll see if she can get past them. But if she does, then she'll wind up fighting Megan Anderson and Felicia Spencer and getting destroyed. But I could see her getting beat before then. I could see one of these bantamweights moving up to featherweight, beating her before then. Shoot, go ahead and bring over some of the featherweights now. You know, Pam Bam Sorensen or Chelsea Chandler. Fighters like that, they'll handle a Danielle Wolf with ease, you know. And those were the type of fights that she needed to be in before she got here, you know, so she could learn her lesson, you know, so she could really learn what she needs to work on. Because right now, if you look at Danielle Wolf, she needs to work on everything. You know, if a bantamweight was able to beat her, then there's so much more that this fighter with no experience has to work on. So, yeah, it's a setup going wrong as we speak. You know, and it's not a good way to build up the featherweight division. You know, Dana White just needs to have his fighters from that tough house go back to making a featherweight division, and then go ahead and bring over some of the Invicta ladies like the Chelsea Chandlers, the Pam Bam Sorensens. You need to bring them ladies over here to the 145-pound division if you really want a featherweight division. Because you bring them over, You'll have more so a thriving division versus bringing over a big girl who has just a boxing background and one win on the contender series against a bantamweight. What does that spell, man? So yeah, I'm just ranting a little bit here now, but I'm hoping all I'm saying is making sense to y'all, because these are the points that I just want to go back and talk about. You know, it was a setup for Danielle Wolf to become the next hype train. And it's a setup that's still going wrong right now. You know, it's in the process of really crashing and burning, you know, whenever you really put Danielle Wolf in there with a tough contender, you know. So, yeah, in the comment section, let me know what y'all think. Again, how do you have a pro debut fighter become considered a contender? How is a pro debut fighter made? How is somebody making their professional debut a contender? You know, answer that. Answer that in the comment section if y'all know the answer. I don't know. But I don't see Danielle Wolf making it far in the featherweight division unless they keep feeding her people from the outside of the UFC first. Unless they try to bring in some more people outside like that and they keep trying to feed into it. But if she face anybody now, any of these five featherweights they have now, she's getting destroyed. That's just being real. Shoot, bring over Pam Bam and Chelsea Chan, like I said, and they'll school her. But, yeah, man, last topic. Weili Zhang versus Rose Namajunas. Real quick, you know, I just want to give my thoughts on this matchup. You know, it's looking like it's in the works for a December date. And I feel like, yeah, like I said, this is going to be a good way to close out 2020. You know, we've really been getting some good fights in 2020 to help us with this year. And this will be another one to top it off, man, because Weili Zhang, she's been out of the octagon since the Joanna fight. And I've been waiting to see her return, man. I really want to see her return against another top five fighter. You know, with ladies like Nina Azarov out, Tatiana Suarez out, and the possibility of these fighters going up to 125 along with Jessica Andrade, you know, she's already up there. You know, there's not that elite top five that they used to be, besides Rose Namajunas. You know, Rose Namajunas, after her close rematch win over Jessica Andrade, I want to know where she's at, you know. I want to know where she's at, and I think this is the good test for it, you know, because I feel like this fight here, style-wise, it's going to be different than the Jessica Andrade fight for both of these ladies. You know, it's going to be different than their fights in the past. You know, I feel like this is going to be more of a physical battle. It's going to be more than a physical battle. I think it's going to be like a battle of the IQs. You know, it's going to be a real show of martial arts and patience. You know, that's why I've been really kind of sizing this fight up, and that's why I'm going to do a breakdown of Weili and Rose, you know, as we get closer. You know, once this fight is official, I'm going to do that breakdown. But I just think this is going to be a big one for Weili Zhang to kind of put her on the map. I mean, the Joanna fight, that was a big one already for her, but, you know, it was so close that a lot of people still feel like she needs to be tested. So whenever she gets in there with somebody like Rose Namajunas, you know, and she's able to – if she's able to win, that'll definitely put her on that map, you know. And one of the questions I have for y'all and myself again is Rose ready for this fight? You know, she's definitely got to be. You know, I don't know if she is right now, but she's definitely got to be ready for this one. You know, I mean, the Jessica Andrade fight, maybe Jessica just had her number, but that was a fight where you could kind of see where she was caught slipping, and, you know, she almost got slept again in the second fight. You know, so Weili Zhang is a fighter that can mix it up. I think she can fight, you know, very well in a chess match. But at the same time, if she sees you sleeping like Jessica Andrade did, Weili Zhang will capitalize. You know, she's more of a calculator puncher than Jessica Andrade. Like, if she sees Rose not reacting enough to what she's throwing, if she doesn't see Rose countering or trying to, you know, get that striking and that rhythm going, Weili Zhang will jump on. She'll put that pressure on you. She'll get you in a clinch, and she'll be physical with you. So Rose has to be ready for all of that. You know, Rose just has to be ready for that mindset to be a champion again. You know, she almost lost that after she lost the title. But hopefully she has that with this one. You know, I think she does, but I think she kind of does right now because, you know, she feels like, you know, Weili Zhang, you know, she knows that Weili Zhang is a proud champion. And, you know, she respects the sport. So I think that's going to kind of like bring the same energy to Rose Namajunas to be in a good solid chess match, or like a good solid fight to really, you know, kind of heighten up her skills, you know, to make her work all her senses, you know, when she gets in there. So I think that's going to make Rose ready. But is she ready? You know, like I said, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. You know, I think she's almost there, but I think when that fight gets officially made, you know, she's going to work towards it and make sure she's right for this one. And again, just going back, I think that this is a fight where Weili Zhang, you know, she's ready to make a statement, you know, so it's really coming down to looking like a 50-50 fight, because a lot rides on this fight. You know, for Weili Zhang, you know, she really wants to put herself on the map with names on her resume. And she's always talking about a move up to fight Valentina at 125. But in order to do that, you need to clean out your division. you know, you got to beat the best in your division. So there's so much leading to more for Weili Zhong. That's why I feel like she is going to rise to the occasion for this fight. And that's what's going to make this fight a 50-50 fight. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this one. Like I said, it's in the works for December. Hopefully it gets made, you know, because like I said, I want to close this year out with a good, solid strawweight championship fight. And let me know in the comment section what y'all think. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this one, guys. Like I said, just want to go back and talk about some of these topics that, you know, I know y'all want to hear my thoughts on as far as even with Danielle Wolf and Tanisha Tennant. I just kind of went on a rant a little bit with that one. But like I said, give me y'all's thoughts on the situation with her. How far do y'all think Danielle Wolf is going to make it in the UFC? Weili Zhong and Rose Namajunas, what y'all think of that fight? And yeah, Victor Carr coming on in a few hours. So yeah, I'm going to go check that out. Again, make sure y'all subscribe here to Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe to the Jab Effect YouTube channel. CB99talks.com coming soon. That's where I start posting all my episodes as well. So you can go back and listen to them. I'll post all the information right here. Make sure y'all subscribe. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Peace.